Well, in the month of October, we are taking some time to look at the parables of Jesus. Parables are the stories that Jesus tells us to teach us a little bit of something. And there's so many different parables and kinds of parables all in our scriptures. Some of the parables that Jesus tell are extensive stories. Like in the prodigal son, Jesus crafts a narrative that could be a novel if you really wanted it to. You start filling in all these details and the amazing nature of what he's trying to convey. I mean, there are some Lifetime movies that have less plot and character development than Jesus puts into the prodigal son. Or the parable of the vineyard owner, or the good Samaritan. Numerous parables that have a beginning and a middle and an end, and they're filled with conflict and resolution and all sorts of interaction of characters. They're real stories. And then, just as often, there are some parables that still get that same title as a parable, but they're really only a sentence or two, and honestly, you could find them in a fortune cookie. Such are our parables today. You see, there were some religious authorities pushing Jesus as to why his disciples were not holding the same religious observances as all the other Jews were. And so Jesus answers, as he is often wont to do, with a less than direct answer. Jesus says to them, as it tells us in Mark 2, "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth onto an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. Likewise, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, just like the skins. For one puts new wine into new wineskins." Thanks, Jesus. "No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth onto an old cloak." Tell me that wouldn't fit on a tiny piece of paper with some lucky numbers on the back. You know what I mean? You finish your dinner, you open the little plastic package, you crack open the cracker, and there suddenly it reads, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins." 13, 5, 7, and 22. Okay, great. Here we are with these little pieces of wisdom thrown in that count as parables. But as brief as these statements are, they are not as simple as they appear to be, which, if I may say, is just so Jesus, right? It looks simple, but no, it's not. There have been many different interpretations of these short but powerful sayings. In one interpretation posed by John Calvin of Presbyterian fame, he understood that the disciples were the old cloth, and these Jewish practices were like a patch of new fabric. And asking the disciples to do these new rituals to them would tear them apart. This interpretation is basically calling the disciples old dogs who can't do new religious tricks. But there's another interpretation that's actually older. It's one that draws on similar stories from elsewhere in Judaism, because some of the stories that Jesus tells us were conventional wisdom within the Jewish community. These actual phrases about cloth and wineskins, they weren't original thoughts to Jesus. They were a part of the community, and he was reminding people of wisdom that was already being shared. And so drawing in on some of that other piece, another older interpretation would name that, no, in this situation, the disciples are the new cloth, and the traditions of religion are the old cloth. In this case, the traditions aren't dynamic enough to handle the change in new ideas that the disciples might be bringing. It's actually the opposite of the last interpretation. In this case, religion is the old dog and the people are the new tricks. So here we have two completely opposite interpretations of what seem to be very simple phrases. I actually appreciate the contrasting views on this parable. I love that you can hear a story and people can walk away with completely different interpretations. It actually reminds me of a very classic sitcom motif, especially throughout the 90s and the sort of golden era of, let's teach you something sitcoms. The wise neighbor would come over and look at a problem and offer some advice, but not wanting to be too pushy, would tell their young companion a story from their own experience. Well, let me tell you about my life. And now as the audience, we're watching, and we know exactly the wisdom this person is trying to pass down. But when their story finishes, the young neighbor draws the wrong conclusion and bounds off to do the opposite of what was being advised, right? And you're like, no, wait, come, that's, I didn't know. Okay. The moral of the story for us as an audience is, if you want a defined outcome, you need to give a defined answer. But Jesus rarely gives defined answers. So this is a good time for us to be reminded that if Jesus does give you a clear answer, it's a very big deal. Right? So often he gives the stories and all these other interpretations, but when Jesus does give you a clear answer, you should be listening. For example, hey Jesus, what's the most important thing for us to do? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. No story, no gray area, no varying interpretations. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was very clear. So when he was pushed on why his disciples weren't keeping all of these rituals and rules, Jesus could have been clear. Right, I mentioned he tells stories all the time, but he has the capacity to give a direct answer. He's done it before. They could have asked him the question about the disciples, and he could have said, the rules are not as important as the meaning behind them. Okay, thanks for the answer, Jesus. Or he could have said, they're following new rules. Okay, thanks for the answer, Jesus. Or the response I've been rooting for that never really shows up, because I'm the incarnate of God and I said so. Like, that one would have been fun. But instead of this direct answer, Jesus tells a parable. A parable that begs us to consider multiple angles. A parable that begs us to recognize there are many different opinions and options and different outcomes. So I want to double check a few details of the story with you. Things folks at the time would have clearly known from their own experiences. The old cloth that things were made out of was already shrunk. They would make a garment and then it would shrink. No pre-shrunk cotton available. Whatever size you thought it was going to change. It went through changes that the new cloth had not gone through yet. A new cloth patch would then shrink, and if it was sewn onto that old cloth, it would pull everything and rip around it. And then there's the wineskins. Wineskins were bags that were used to store, carry, and pour wine. They were made of leather. Sometimes there were little side ones that you could just carry along with you and use throughout your day. Other times there were ones that were the size of a backpack that a steward would wander around wearing during a party, gently pouring wine out to everyone. Can you imagine the guy with the giant wine backpack just wandering through the party? But the interesting thing is that's how they would hold and keep the wine, but the wine at the time wasn't like our wine now. The wine at the time, when you put it into a container, would keep fermenting. It wasn't done yet, which means it would create gas and it would expand. So a new wineskin was made of new leather that had some stretch in it. So then the wine would start to expand and the little bag that the wine would expand with it. No problem. But once it had done that, much like so many of us in our lives, there's only so far we can go and I can't go any further. And if you put something new in it again, it would expand and suddenly the skin would just say, been there, done that, can't do it again, and everything would fall apart. See, knowing the dynamics just as Jesus' original audience would, we're invited to then think about these as metaphors and thinking, okay, what's what? Am I the new stuff? Am I the old stuff? Is my problem the new thing? Is this person? What is what as we try to apply these parables to our lives? Is the old inflexible cloth or that old worn out wineskin the bad guy in the story because it just won't change anymore? Is it confining? Is it constricting? Is it limiting? Or is it actually the new cloth and the new wine that's the problem here? I mean, just expecting everything around it to adjust to its needs. Perhaps the new stuff is demanding, immature, and self-centered. How do we apply this to our lives? When in one situation, it could be either. Are there times that we need to let go of old circumstances, old institutions, old relationships, so that we can move forward without pain or brokenness? Or are there times that we need to be more flexible with others and a little more graceful and permission-giving because we're bringing a lot of change and not everyone is ready to handle what we might be bringing? There's no doubt in my mind what the answer is. It's both. We have to be able and willing to do either one, depending on the situation. Sometimes we have to be able to change more. Sometimes we have to be able to not force change. Sometimes, but when you just want an answer, this is frustrating. Right? When you're caught in a life circumstance, in a tough moment, and you just want an answer, what do we do? Well, this serves for me as a good reminder of a deep truth about our congregation. We are not an answer church. We're a question church. Now listen, I'm happy to create space for people to find answers here. When I say that we're not an answer church, it doesn't mean that you can't find them here. It just means no one is going to stand up front and hand out the answers to you. I'm not going to stand up here and try to hand out answers to you as a part of some long litany of religious leaders before me who have been endowed with everything we need to know to tell you everything you need to know about your life. Now, I will name, there are a few answers I do hold as gospel truth. God loves all people. God wants us to create a world of love, acceptance, justice, and hope. God wants us to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. I will name, there are a few answers I'm happy to offer, but that's because they're the answers that Jesus offered directly and clearly without story, without interpretation or variance. When Jesus says it clearly, I listen. But when Jesus invites a story, I believe we are invited to think and engage and be in conversation. As much as there are those answers I say, there are also, those answers are just starting points to all the questions that will follow them. Every good answer begs new questions. Now, I'll tell you, children's time was different when I was a kid. When I was a kid, the pastor would stand up front and like ask questions and expect us to answer. We don't do that here. First off, I don't ever want my child to be handed a microphone. God only knows what will happen. But I think it's more engaging to tell stories and do pieces with them versus putting people on the spot. But no one actually felt on the spot when I was a kid because we figured out a pattern. All you had to do was say God, Jesus, or the Bible, and you would have answered the question correctly. Like, that's all they did. They'd say, well, what about this? You'd be like, God, Jesus, the Bible, and occasionally, my family. And those were the only answers you needed. But here's the thing. Life is not children's time. It's not that simple. The questions are bigger and the answers are more nuanced. So we as a community are invited to sit with one another as we ask the big questions, questions that are worthy of the lives that we're living. Whether they're the kinds of questions that have answers or the kinds of questions that may not have answers, we are invited to be with one another. And when appropriate, we can tell each other stories, whether it's one of our own lived experiences or maybe it's a scripture. Maybe we can offer those stories of wisdom to look into and wonder and learn together. But just like the neighbor in the sitcom, we don't get to control where anybody else goes with it after we've offered it. And that's the point. To define an answer for someone else's life is like placing a patch of new cloth on an old cloak. And suddenly we're back to the parable again. You see, we can sit together and we can talk. We can look at the cloak of our lives and recognize that there are some holes. There are some places of pain and longing and difficulty and wondering. And we can sit together and talk about it, and we can validate how it feels to have those holes in our lives. And we can talk about what it looks like to tend to them carefully in ways that don't hurt. We can talk about how mending might be a part of life. We can also talk about how it might just be time to get an entirely new cloak because that one is beyond repair. We can consider if we're living in a healthy tension or if it's a tension that will tear us at the seams. We can have these conversations together. But above all, we can hear and listen to one another's stories, listening for the wisdom offered from our own life experiences as we ask good questions together. And we can seek out wisdom that doesn't just fit inside of a cookie, but instead opens up new worlds of questions that we can answer together. For this is the journey. Amen.